All right, we're going to begin here on the top of Lamed Chemin and Aleph. We're continuing the sugya that we left off with yesterday, which is, how do we determine if an animal is really alive when you do the shechita? We had the Mishnah give us some hints to that. At the end of yesterday's daf, we had Shmuel bump into the Talmidim of Rav and ask them, what did Rav say about this situation? So he suggested, the Talmidim of Rav suggested that Rav's position was that the animal, in order for us to believe that it was still alive at the time of shechita, either is go'ah, has to groan, or hitila rei, it defecates, over kishkasha bozna, or its ear moved. So in any of these instances, that's enough of a sign of a life that the shechita was done while the animal was still alive. Now, we have to believe that all of these items are more than that's mentioned in the Mishnah, as Tosfos points out, that a filo the Rabbi Gamliel, our Mishnah says Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, the Gemara seems to refer to the Tana and the Mishnah as Rabbi Gamliel, and not Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Nevertheless, he says, machmi uvari pirkus yad v'regel. Here requires the movement of the foreleg and the hind leg, that these chashiv hai pirkus, according to him, certainly all of these are considered to be enough movement or shaking to be considered alive. So this is a pretty big chumrah. On that, Shmuel said that I think that's too much. I think that you only need something that indicates that the animal didn't do this motion out of its death throes. So that's what Shmuel said. And now we're going to discover, and that's what we're going to speak about today, what are these things that an animal does at death, and what are the things that, beyond that, he needs to do in order to be considered alive. And that's with the fourth line down. What are items or actions that an animal takes when it dies, in the throes of death, that this is what it does? I was explained this position of Mar Shmuel. Haita yadak fufa. If the animal's leg was bent, upashtata, and then it extended it, dvarsha mita usa. That's something that happens naturally in the death throes, which is that the animal tends to extend its leg. On the other hand, pshuta, if it was outstretched, vikafafa, and it bent it back, that's dvarim shena mita usa. That's something that's not caused by death, and that's an indication of life, and therefore the shechita would be good. My kamashmalan. Why is he telling us? He's not telling us anything new. Tanino. We already learned this in the Mishnah. Behema daka, shepashta yada, velo yachzira, a smaller animal which extends its foreleg but does not return it, psula, sheino ella hutzat nefesh. It's only the expiration of the animal. It's not an indication that the animal was alive at that time. Ha yachzira. The implications from the Mishnah is if the animal returns the leg, folds it back in, kshera, then it would have been fine. The Gemara says, "Imi matzanitan." If we just had our Mishnah, "Hava mina dafka de kaifa upashta v'hader kaifa," I would think that you need two motions. You need a motion of outstretching, start with a bent leg, and then it extends, and then it has to recoil the leg in order to be considered alive. I need both directions of motion. Aval pshuta, if it was already extended, and then v'kafata, and it brings it back in, it recoils it. Lo, that wouldn't be sufficient. Kamash malan, that's what Rav Anan comes to teach us. That's sufficient. You don't need it in both directions. You simply need it to be folded up from a outstretched position rather than going from a folded position to the outstretched. From a closed position to the outstretched, that's something that could happen even in the throes of death, and that would not be an indication of life. On the other hand, if it's outstretched and he bends it in, that is already an indication of life. That's not something that happens naturally in the throes of death. All right, I just want to note here, it's an important Tosfot on the beginning of right before what we spoke about today, but in yesterday's daf, when Shmuel addressed the Talmidim of Rav, he said about Rav, Abba. He says, oh, that's what Abba says. Rashi, on speaking about Abba, says that's what they used to call Rav. Rav, Karele Shmuel Hochi, Mishum Kavod. Out of a sense of Kavod, he called him Father Abba. That was a term of Kavod, a term of respect that he gave him. Tosafot says it's just the opposite. He says that Rav's real name was Abba, and that Rav was the term that was used for him. Just like by Rabbi Huda Nossi, they used the term Rabbi. By Rav, whose real name was Abba, they called him Rav. Just Stam Rav. Shmuel, who was his contemporary, his peer, called him by his real name, Abba. But everybody else called him Rav. So Tosafot points out in numerous places that we have such a situation that it's true that it seems to be that Rav's real name is Abba. He has one place where it doesn't work so well. It works better according to the explanation of Rashi. And that's just interesting that Rav, Abba, whether Abba is a term of Kavod here, or that's really Rav's name. Yeah, the Mishnah says that if he extends the leg, it's not sufficient, implying that he would have to extend the leg plus recoil it in order for it to be sufficient. Okay, Meitevei, We have a Tosefta, we have a Braita. Rabbi Yossi Omer. Rabbi Yossi says, Haya Rabbi Meir Omer, Go'a, if it groans, B'shat Shechita, Ein Ze Pirkus. That is not sufficient to call it alive and still moving. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Mishmo. Mishmo means the name of Rabbi Yossi. Afilu Eitila Rei, even if it defecates, V'kishkasha B'zanva, or it wags its tail, Ein Ze Pirkus, this is not a sign of life. So all of these are problematic for Rav. Here you have Tanaim saying that these are not signs of life, and yet the Talmidim of Rav said that's what Rav said was the qualification for being alive. So Kasha Goa Goa, we have the groaning that's mentioned in this Breita, the Tosefta, versus the Goa mentioned by Rav, and Kasha Rei Arei. Over here it says that defecating is not enough by Rav, the Talmidei Rav said that it was enough. So Goa Goa Lo Kasha, when it comes to the moaning and the groaning, that's not a question. Hada Avikala? The Amikala. Depends. Avikala, when it has a strong and loud groan, that's a sign of life. The Amikala, if it's a weak sound that comes out, just expiration, then that's not considered enough to be considered a life force. Rei Arei, when it comes to defecation, also Nami Lokasho. Kan Bishotetet, Kan Bimatrezet. Depends how strongly it is removed from the animal. If it defecates in a manner that is just dripping out, then that is not considered a life force. On the other hand, matrezet, if it defecates in such a manner that's coming out vigorously in a strong manner, that is considered to be a sign of life. Right, so that ends this little piece of Gemara. And now we're going to bring in the piece that's going to take us through most of the rest of the daf here, which is when we make the demand to see this life force or this sign of life, when do we demand that you see this? This is a little bit of a question, I think, Shaul, that you raised yesterday, which is, if animals, when they die, do certain things like this, and when you do shechita, they do this, how do you determine that the animal died or was killed by the shechita? That's somewhat answered by the layout of what is today. I mentioned to you yesterday that we're happening simultaneously, and that's exactly what the Amoraim here are trying to figure out. Since they're happening at the same moment, how do we distinguish when it's part of the shechita and when it's just the normal death throes? So Amar Rav Chisda, Pirkus she'amru b'sof shechita. The demand that we see this type of life force is at the end of shechita. So my b'sof shechita, Rav Chisda says, when we say sof shechita, what do I mean? It means b'emso shechita. It's lafuke tchilat shechita. Sof shechita doesn't mean really at the end of the shechita. Just means not at the beginning of the shechita. It means in the middle of the shechita. Amar Rav Chisda, mina amin Allah, how can I prove to you that that's the case? The Tanan, Tar Mishnah. Behema daka shepashta yada velo yachzira, a small animal that extends its foreleg velo yachzira and doesn't return it, doesn't recoil it, psula. Eimat, when did this happen? Ilema besof shechita, if it happened at the end of shechita, koheche tiachetheche vitezel, how long do you want this animal to live and keep moving? I mean, what's a reasonable expectation of how long this animal can keep moving if you're going to the shechita? The sof shechita, how long do you want this to keep going? So that doesn't make sense. Elalav be'emso shechita, it must be that that transpired in the middle of the shechita. So during the middle of the process of shechita, it extended its leg and lo yachzira, didn't recoil it. But had it recoiled it and there was sufficient time to recoil it before the shechita was complete, that would have been a sign of life. So amalei rova, le'olam b'sof shechita. Rav says, no, I believe that this life force or a sign of life has to be done at the end of Shechita. She'ani omer, ko she'enu asa kin b'sof Shechita. If it doesn't do this at the end of the Shechita, b'yadua sh'nishmata nutula amenu kodem l'chein. Then I know it already expired, it died prior to the completion of the Shechita. Because the movement happened before the completion of the Shechita. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar, Pirkus She'amru B'tchilat Shechita. He says that when we're talking about this movement that we're looking for the signs of life, that's at the beginning of the Shechita. So basically now we have opinions that span the entire range. We have Rova who says it's the end of the Shechita. We have Nachman Bar Yitzchak who says it's the beginning of the Shechita. And we have Rav Chisda who says it's the middle of Shechita. Rav Chisda already gave us his proof of why he thinks it should be the middle of Shechita. Now we're going to investigate the other two Amoraim. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Mena Amin Allah. How can I prove to you, how can I show you that it must be at the beginning of the Shechita? The Tan, we have Dar Mishnah, Amar Rabbi Shimon, Ashuchepa Laila, Summer of the Shechita at night, Ulamachar Matzak Talim Milayim Dam, then the next morning he finds the walls covered in blood, Ksheira. That is a good Shechita, Shizinka. Because the blood spurted out, ukumidat Rabbi Eliezer. That's what Rabbi Elazar said, that the spurting of the blood all over the place is a sign of life. And here, when you wake up in the morning and see the walls covered in blood, you know that it's spurted out. Vamar Shmuel, and Shmuel says, Kotei Beit Shechita Shaninu. When we're talking about the Kotelim, we're not talking about the walls of the house. We're talking about the walls of the area of the Shechita. Now, Iyamar Bishlama, if you explain B'tchilat Shechita Shapir, if you explain that it happened in the beginning of the Shechita, then it makes a lot of sense. If you said at the end of Shechita, let us suggest that the spraying happened at the beginning of Shechita. Let us take a step back and just think about this. If we were talking about the walls of the house, we could determine whether it was the beginning of the Shechita or the middle of the Shechita, because where the blood went on the walls will tell us where it is. We know for sure at the beginning of the Shechita, the blood was being expelled at a very high rate, and it reached further and higher up on the walls. Later in the Shechita, the force of the blood is diminished, and it'll reach not as far as the first part of the blood. So we can see that the squirting of the blood took place, and at what periods of time it took place. On the other hand, once you've taken this position of Shmuel, that we're talking about the Kotei Beit HaShechita, there's no way to tell me whether it happened at the beginning of Shechita or the middle of Shechita. I can't tell you the blood that's on the walls of the Beit HaShechita when it reached there. So it must be that it's sufficient, the Tchilat Shechita. At the beginning of Shechita, if the blood gets there, that's all we need to know. And if I see blood there, that's the only piece of information that I need. And that's why Rav Nachman Mischel says, I can prove to you that it must be that these signs of life are at the Tchilat Shechita. So Rav responds, or the Gemara responds, with Dilma Shani Zinuk. Maybe Zinuk, the squirting of the blood, is different. The Odif, that it is a stronger sign of life, as opposed to the movement of the animal, which is considered to be a weaker form of or sign of life. The squirting of the blood is a very strong sign of life, and therefore that will be the exceptional case. In the case of the blood spurting, we'll do it at the Tchilat Shechita. By all the other simanim, we'll have to do it at a later period. Where it says, Umi Odif. Is that really true? Is Zinuk really stronger than the others? Vatnan. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Daya Im Zinka. Right, our Mishnah says, Rabbi Elazar says, it's enough if the blood spurted out. Kal mi Drabanan, Gamliel, he's lower demand than Rabbi Gamliel, v'odif mi d'rabanan, but a higher demand than the Rabbanan. Rabbi Gamliel demanded both the yad and regel, the foreleg and the hind leg, to move. The Rabbanan required only one of those two to move. At this point, we're suggesting Rabbi Elazar sits between their two positions. So Amar Ravina, Amar li sama bar chiklai, akshiba avua debar abuvram, that this question was something that was bothered the father of the son of Abuvram. Some say the brother of the son of Abuvram. So again, over here, when you have the father of the son of Abuvram, that is Abuvram himself. But they knew the son and not the father, and therefore they referenced the father in relationship to the son. So they said that he was Bar Avram Avua, the father of the son of Abuvram, even though Abuvram is the father of the son of Abuvram. Same, similar to like Avua de Shmuel, the father of Shmuel, who has no name in Shas, but because Shmuel is more famous, he's always called Avua de Shmuel. So he suggested, Umi Odif, Umi de Rabbanan Mi Odif, is it really better than the Rabbanan? Meaning, is Rabbi Elazar's demand a higher demand than even the Rabbanan? Vatanan, our Mishnah says, V'chachamim omrim, ad shitip parkes, obiyado beregel. Has to move either its foreleg or its hind leg. Rabbanan ahai kaimu. Who are they referencing or who are they relating to when they make their statement? If they're referencing back to Rabbi Gamliel, Kaven Shapirkasami Boyle, it shouldn't say ad until. Until implies that it's even more than what was said beforehand. Well, they're saying less. Their demand is less than that of Rabbi Gamliel. So they just should have said Kaven Shapirkasa. Shouldn't have said ad the Pirkasa. Alabshita ad Rabbi Eliezer. Must be that they're referencing back to Rabbi Eliezer. Vi Odif. And if Rabbi Eliezer is making a higher demand, my ad, then what's the term ad here? Ad implies that it's something more than that was demanded before. Rabbi Elazar demanded the blood spurt out, and they're saying, no, only until it means that you have to add this on in a higher level of requirement. And that means that the hierarchy in the Mishnah would be, first, Rabbi Gamliel requires the movement of both the foreleg and the hind leg, then the Rabbanon require only the movement of one of them, and then lowest demand in the Mishnah is Rabbi Eliezer, who says that when the blood spurts out. So your suggestion over here that the Zinuk is an unusual case because it's a more powerful sign of life than anything else, we see that's not the case because it's the lowest demand in the Mishnah. Now Rava, what's Rava going to do? Rava Amar Pikrus Amru B'Sof Shechita. But what is he going to do with the proof of Nachman Bar Yitzchak? And that Tosavot mentions, V'had lo chayshin and dimu v'tchilat shechita zinek mishum to lo shechicha shia zinuk ala b'sof. Tosavot solves the problem by making it a practical issue that generally The blood does not spread out in the beginning, and therefore I don't have to worry about it. The blood only really spreads out towards the end anyway. And that's why that question or that proof of Rav Nachman Yitzchok is not a good proof. Now, Amar Rava, Mina Amin Allah. How can I prove to you that the demand for a sign of life force is at the end of the Shechita? Titanya, I have a Breita. Shor Ochesev. So this is well known to everyone because it's the laning by Yom Tov. But Shor Ochesev comes to teach you Prat the Kilayim. Comes to exclude Kilayim, that you can't bring Kilayim on the Mizbeach. O Ace Prat Lidindme. That comes to exclude something that looks like Kilayim. It's born of a mother and father that are of the same species, but the child looks like a different species. Looks like it's Kilayim, born of a mixture of the two species. That's also precluded from being put on the Mizbeach. Obviously, Kilayim was more likely to be included, and therefore we exclude that first. And then as a subcategory of Kilayim, we exclude Lidindme. Ki'i Valeit Prat the Yotzei Dofen. When it gives birth, that excludes an animal that's born through a cesarean section. And over here, Tosafot points out, Kivaleid, it's not because of the word Yivaleid that we know this, but rather it's a Xereshava of Leida Leida to Bechor. By Bechor, we have a specific mute that says Yotzei Dofen is not included. And from that, the Leida Leida to here, we know also here that Yotzei Dofen is precluded from being put on the Mizbeach. Shivat Yamim. Shivat Yamim means you have to wait a minimum of 7 days before you can put the animal in Mizbeach. Prat, the Mechusar Zman. That is, comes to exclude anything that has less time than necessary to get on the Mizbeach. Tachat Imo. It must be with its mother for those first 7 days. Prat, the Yatom. Comes to exclude an animal that's an orphan. An animal that's an orphan may not be put on the Mizbeach. Ha Yatom, Hechidami. How did this animal become orphan? Ilema Dialdite Ime, Vahadar Meita. That his mother gave birth to him, and then she died. La'olam teichei v'teizel, similar lashon that we had used before, but what do you expect from the mother? You need the mother to live forever, otherwise the child is considered a yatom. How long do you want this mother to live for not to be considered a yatom? Ella, what's the case here? Demeita v'harda yilatitia, that the mother died, and then only afterwards was the baby born. Michi yivalei nafko. I would have already excluded that from kivalei prata yotzei dofen. Because when the mother's already died, then we are taking the fetus or the young animal out of the mother in the same way that you would do it by Yotzei Dofen. Elabshita, what must be the case here? Ze perish the mita, veze perish the chayim. That at the moment the baby was born, the mother expired, the mother died. So, iamart bishlama beinan chiyuta besof leida. If you believe that you need a sign of life at the end of giving birth, that's why you need a pasuk to come to exclude a yatom. If you don't think we require a sign of life or life until the last moment of giving birth, what do I need a pasuk to come exclude a yatom? I'll exclude him from chivaleid. Chivaleid comes to exclude a yotzei dofen, where they open up the mother and they take it out. Whether sometimes she's dead or sometimes she's alive, but they take it out. Yotzei dofen doesn't have to always be alive. So I would have excluded that from chivaleid. So Rava says, that's my proof that it has to be, when we're talking about here, being alive, alive means to the last moment. And just like by giving birth, we're talking about it has to be alive to the last moment of birth. So to over here, if we want to buy Shechita, you want to know that it's alive, it has to be alive to the last moment of Shechita. Bishlama bi'inan chiyuta b'sof leida. If we require that the mother is alive to the last moment of giving birth, and then we need hainu d'itzrich kra d'imilute. That's why we need a specific apostle to exclude yatom, as opposed to a case of Yotzei Dofen. Eliyamart lo b'inan chiyuta b'sof leida. If you don't require the animal to be alive to the last moment, then lamalei michi yivalei nafka. Why do I need a separate mute for this yatom? I could have already learned it out. Michi yivalei prat liyotzei dofen. If the mother's already died prior to the birth or prior to the end of the birthing process, then this baby is a Yotzei Dofen and it would have been excluded from the other part of the pasuk. The fact that it requires an independent miut shows me that the mother must be alive to the last moment. That's what is considered to be alive. Alive means to the last moment, to the end of the leida, and so too by shechita. You want to know when the animal is alive? That means it's alive to the last moment. Last moment means the end of the shechita. Kivaleid is both. Kivaleid prat the yotzei dofen. Yotzei dofen can be either while the mother's alive or when the mother's dead. Doesn't matter whether she's alive or dead. The exclusion is that it wasn't birthed naturally. Amarova hilchata kiha matnito. Rava says that the halacha is like this tosefta. Behema daka, Tosefta doesn't necessarily have this girsa in it, the word daka. Shepashta yada v'lo echzira. It extended its foreleg. V'lo echzira did not recoil it. Psula. Bamed amurim amurim. When is that true? Biyad. That's when we're talking about the foreleg. Aval beregel. If you're talking about the hind leg, ben pashta v'lo kafafa. Whether it extended it and did not recoil it. Ben kafafa. Whether it collapsed its leg. V'lo pashta and did not extend it. Kshira. Either direction is considered to be kshira. Another qualifier is bidaka. That's only true with light animals. Bugasa, heavy animals. Ben bayad, ben berego. Doesn't matter whether it's the foreleg or the hind leg. Ben pashta, velo kafufa, whether it extended it and did not recoil it. Ben kafufa, whether it bent the leg, velo pashta, and did not extend it, kshera. It's kshera in all these cases. Ve'of, by a bird, afilo lo refraif, ela gapo. Refraif comes to the word heref. Heref means a slight movement. Gapo over here would mean its wings, which means that the bird moves slightly. It's less than kishkesh, moved its wings slightly. The alternative girsa is eino. Lo yifrei fele eino would mean that it blinked its eyes. Velo kishkesh ele zanvo, and somehow moved its tail. Harizet pirkus. The demand on the bird is less than we have by the animals, that a much slighter movement would be a sign of life. Gemara says, my kamashlan, what is Rava teaching us over here that we don't know? Kulu taninhi. We know all these from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, behema daka, pashtaya da velo echzira, that extended it foreleg and did not recoil it, sula, she'en elo hotzat nefesh. Because that's only an indication of the throes of death. It's not an indication that the animal was alive. So now we can infer from our Mishnah, yadin regalo. This is only true when we're talking about the foreleg, not the hind leg. Daka'in, it mentions in our Mishnah specifically, behema daka, daka'in gasalo. Our Mishnah, you can see in that short line, and we can extrapolate from that one line in the Mishnah, the Tosefta lays it out, but it's all included in our Mishnah already. So what is Rava telling us? Halacha is like this Tosefta. Just say the halacha is like our Stam Mishnah. So Gemara says, no, Of itzdrichale, the lotnan. He needs the Of, which is in the Tosefta. It's not found in our Mishnah. The additional information about what is considered a life force in a bird is included in the Tosefta. It's not included in the Mishnah, and therefore Rava said halacha is like the Tosefta. All right, Mishnah shochet leoved kochavim. Someone who does shchita on behalf of an Oved Kochavim, Shchita Tok Shera. His Shchita is a good Shchita. Rebbe Eliezer Posel. Eliezer says it's no good, and this is because something we saw in Avodah Zarah, that Amar Rebbe Eliezer, Afilu Shachta Lechol, Le'Oved Kochavim, Mechatzer Kaved Shela. Even if he does Shchita, to give a very small portion of the animal to the Oved Kochavim, which is the Chatzer Kaved. Now Chatzer Kaved, according to Rashi, the Girsa is Chatzer Kaved, it means something like the midriff or the diaphragm, something that's not even normally an edible part of the animal. Despite that fact that he did it for a very small portion, psula. The entire animal is psula. On the other hand, Tosfot seems to have a girsa that read Yoteret HaKaved. And he says that Yoteret HaKaved, which is part of the olah that ends up in the Mizbeach, doesn't say, Lav davka nakat Yoteret HaKaved. The Mishnah doesn't mean literally Yoteret HaKaved. Mishum to olah legvoa v'abi kechele v'dam. As a din of chele v'dam. Any piece of meat in the animal. The idea being that however significant the amount that you're getting from this behemah to feed the Oved Kochavim, nevertheless, the entire animal is psula. Why is that? Because the stam machshava of the Oved Kochavim, who you are shechting on behalf of, is for Avodah Zarah. And he makes this into a tekrovet Avodah Zarah. Amar Rabbi Yossi Kavachomer. I'm sorry. I cannot accept your position, Rabbi Lezer, because it's a kavachomer advarim. Uma b'makom shemachshava poselet b'mukdashim. We know in the place where machshava affects in kodesh, that's pigol. Machshava pigol, the Torah says le'yechashev, that you have a problem if you have a machshava chutz l'zman or chutz l'mkomo. Ein hakol olech el achar oved. There in kodshim, we know that the only one who can affect the animal is the one who's doing the avoda. The balim are irrelevant. Only the one who's performing the avodah has the ability to have a machshavat pigul. Makom she'ena machshava puselet. When we come to where machshava does not impact, b'chulin, when we're talking about chulin, I mean, truthfully, by what is there, it does impact by chulin, the Gemara will talk about that, but by chulin, where there is no machshava, enu din shleyo ha'kol oleich elechar shochet. The one who's doing the shchita should be the only one who determines what the machshava is for. And over here, when he's doing it on behalf of the Oved Kochavim, the Jew is doing the shchita. The Jew does the shchita. The shchita is a perfectly good shchita. What the Oved Kochavim was thinking about, that's irrelevant to us because he's not the one performing the Shechita over here. Now the Gemara says, Hani Tanai. Hani Tanai meaning the first two Tanaim in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah has three Tanaim. We have Tanakama, Rabbi Eliezer, and then Rabbi Yossi. So the first two Tanaim, which is the Tanakama and Rabbi Eliezer, Itluhu de Rabbi Elazar be Rabbi Yosi. They hold like this position of Rabbi Elazar be Rabbi Yosi. Tanya, we have a bright. Amar Rabbi Elazar be Rabbi Yosi, Shamati, Shabalim, Mifaglim. Say, Gemara, we saw in Zvachim that there's this position of Rabbi Elazar be Rabbi Yosi who thinks that you can be Mifagel. You can have a Machshevet, Pigol, Chuslis, Mano, Chuslis, Mikamo, even by the owners of the animal. Not just by the one who's doing the Avoda, but even by the owners. So now, what's the machloket then? If they hold that, what's the machloket between the Tanakama and Rebbe Eliezer? Miu, Tanakama savar, ishma inan techashiv in ilolo. The Tanakama says he has to be explicit. Only if the Ovid Kochavim himself explicitly states that he's doing this for Avodah Zarah, then it's problematic. What he has in his mind is not relevant. He has to make an explicit statement. We don't say that the stomach shava for an Ovid Kochavim is Ovid Kochavim. We don't say that. We say that he has to make a statement. If he doesn't make a statement, the default is that he's not doing it for Avodah Zarah. Rabbi Eliezer disagrees and savar, afagav delo shaminei, the choshiv stam makshevet, the Ovid Kochavim, lavadat Kochavim amrinan. Rabbi Eliezer says, even if we don't hear him say it explicitly that he's doing it for Avodah Zarah, we assume it's for Avodah Zarah, because on the default status is that an Ovid Kochavim does it for avadat Kochavim. The common denominator between them is that you can have a makshava by someone who's not performing the actual avodah. Someone's not performing the avodah can have a machshava, that's the balim, can have a machshava that affects in kochim. And so too over here, by chulin, the balim, the ovid kochavim, who's the balim, can have an effect on the animal, even though the shochet is an Yisrael who doesn't have anything in mind in terms of avodah zarah. V'atei Rabbi Yossi lemeimar, and Rabbi Yossi comes along and says, afakav deshmineni dechoshiv, ze mechashiv, v'ze oved lo aminon. Even if he explicitly says that I'm doing this for avodah zarah, it has no impact, because the one who has the thought and the one who's doing the avodah have no connection between them. The one who performs the shechita is the only one who matters. The owners, anybody else who is associated with this animal, have no bearing on the animal. And so over here, even though the Ovid Kochavim is explicitly saying he's doing it for Avodah Zarah, but a Jew's doing the shechita, it's a perfectly good shechita. So that's the first way we explain the machloket in our Mishnah. Ikad Amrei, there's an alternative offered over here in terms of what the machloket is. Bidisham inei dechoshiv pligei. When we hear him explicitly saying it's for Avodah Zarah, that's what they're arguing about. That one can have a machshava that impacts the animal. The balim can impact the animal even though they're not the ones performing the avodah. That's in kochim. In chulim, lo. We don't say that because chutz mipnim lo yofinim. We don't learn out chulin from kochim. Rabbi Lezer comes along and says, no, we do learn out chulim from pinim. And just like in the kochim, the balim can affect the korban, so to over here, the balim can affect the korban, even though they're not the ones performing the avodah. Va'ati Rabbi Yosi le'meimar, Rabbi Yosi comes on and says, let me tell you, not only in chulin is there no connection between the balim, or the makshev balim, and the animal, afilu bifnim, nami zem chashev zeoved lo amrinan. Even bifnim, even in kochim, we don't make such a statement, meaning that the balim have no impact even in kochim. There's a totally separate route. The one who's doing the avodah can impact the animal, can have a machshava, pigol, chutz lizmano, chutz limkumo, but the balim have no impact, even bekochim, and certainly not bechulim. So those are the two ways to explain the machloket of the three Tanaim in our Mishnah. The first explanation is that the first two Tanaim believe that you can have a machshavet balim bechutz. Just a question of what is the threshold by which we know that the balim have such a machshava. The Kanakama says that he has to state it explicitly, whereas Rabbi Lezer says that even without saying explicitly, the default he is thinking that way. Then Rabbi Yossi comes along and says there is no possibility of the balim affecting the korban. The second way to learn it is that bifnim, when we're talking about in kochim, then the balim can impact. Their machloket is whether do we extend that to bechutz. Rabbi Tanakama says we don't extend it to bechutz. Rabbi Lezer says we do extend it to bechutz. And along comes Rabbi Yossi and says, not only do we not extend it to bechutz, it doesn't even apply to kochim, bifnim. Even bifnim, there is no ability of the balim to affect the korban. Okay, we'll stop over here and we'll continue with the Gemara tomorrow.